Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
We've got 18 different booths that will be providing all sorts of different chili.
God's Pantry Food Bank will host the Chili Wars on Saturday in Moorhead. Lawmakers are considering the power to restore voting rights to felons. Kentucky's Safe Infant Act needed clarification this week. A school bus safety bill passed the House. Fayette County School safety updates are still in the works. In sports, the Eagles host a doubleheader tonight. Bud Luke has the stock report. Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 35 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. The Moorhead Conference Center will once again be the site for Chili Wars this Saturday. Now in its fifth consecutive year, Chili Wars serves as a fundraiser for God's Pantry Food Bank. Along with food, the event features music as well as live and silent auctions. Michael Halligan is the CEO of God's Pantry Food Bank. He says the money raised by Chili Wars goes directly towards assisting the Regional Distribution Center for God's Pantry in Moorhead.
That facility handles about 2 million pounds worth of food a year. Agencies from Rowan County and nine surrounding counties pick up food from God's Pantry Food Bank at that location, take it back to their soup kitchen, their pantry, their shelter, and distribute it to individuals who are food insecure.
Chili Wars will run from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets are $25 and can be found online at Eventbrite or purchased at the door. Days after taking office, Governor Andy Beshear signed an executive order reinstating voting rights for an estimated 140,000 Kentuckians convicted as nonviolent offenders who had served their time. But it's an order that can be overturned by the next governor if they please. A more concrete restoration effort would require action by the General Assembly and a change to the state's constitution at the ballot box. Taking up the charge is Democratic Representative and U.S. Senate hopeful Charles Booker.
And it is an understanding that our voices are so important, and so many of us feel unheard and ignored and left out, and it's not right.
Booker's bill would not require that any restitution be paid before individuals could get their voting rights back, only that their sentence had been served. While the governor has called for the General Assembly to act on voting rights, Booker's bill faces an uphill climb in the Republican-dominated legislature. Kentucky's Safe Infant Act has been clarified after an Indiana baby was found safe in a safe haven baby box. The act allows babies to be dropped off at a staffed police station, fire station, hospital, or a participating place of worship within 30 days of birth. According to Indiana firefighters, they found a baby dropped off in a safe haven box, a device that legally allows mothers in crisis to anonymously surrender a baby at the Seymour Fire Department earlier this week. Lexington Battalion Chief Jordan Saws tells LEX18 there are different reasons a mother may choose to surrender a newborn.
They might feel that their back is against the wall and that might be their only option. We just want to be a valuable resource, as we do every day, to our community in times of need.
Jordan says there are different methods of surrendering newborns between Kentucky and Indiana. If a mother in crisis needs to surrender a baby to the Lexington Fire Station, contact with a firefighter must be made prior to the drop-off. Kentucky officials are asking a federal appeals court to restore a state law that bans a common second trimester abortion procedure. The law passed in 2018 was struck down last year by a federal judge, but a lawyer from Kentucky Attorney General's office told the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Wednesday that the law simply changes how the abortion must be performed by requiring an alternative procedure. The law was challenged by the lone clinic performing abortions in Kentucky. An attorney representing the clinic argued the law could force women to leave the state to seek an abortion. A school bus safety bill is on its way to the Kentucky Senate. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Sponsored by Representative Robert Goforth, House Bill 24 proposes using cameras on school bus stop arms to capture drivers illegally passing stopped buses. The cameras would be optional for school districts, but the bill would generate funds through fines levied on the illegally passing drivers. Offenders would receive a $300 fine for a first offense and a $500 fine for a second offense, with criminal penalties also possible. Goforth says school districts could work with a third-party vendor for installation and maintenance of the cameras at no cost to the districts. The vendor would also be responsible for collection of fines. School districts would receive 80% of generated revenue under the proposal. The remaining $29 million would be split between the State Transportation Cabinet and the Kentucky Department of Education. For WMKY News, I'm Kenealy Roberts.
Fayette County School safety updates are still ongoing. School officials are working to make schools safer on a deadline, as the school is currently working on renovating school entryways and adding metal detectors. According to WKYT, Chief Operating Officer Myron Thompson attributes delays to working around the academic calendar. He says the goal of the project is to screen visitors more thoroughly.
We had some issues at Lafayette a while back, but those things have sort of smoothed out, and we're not having any problems, no delays for students, no impact to instructions. Now it's a controlled process to where the person needs to sort of state their business and sort of sign into the building and then proceed from there.
Bryan Station High School was recently completed. Henry Clay High School is the only high school campus without detectors. Thompson said that deadline could be pushed to this fall. Governor Andy Beshear's proposed budget reversed a 12-year trend when it comes to cutting state funding for universities and community college. As WUKY's Josh James reports, school leaders are welcoming the new direction.
Kentucky is one of just two states, the other being South Carolina, that has continued to whittle down state funding for higher education following the Great Recession. Governor Beshear.
These cuts have been painful, and they have led to consistent tuition increases for our students.
The governor said he wants to stop that cycle by giving universities a 1% increase, or about $8.6 million. The money would not be filtered through the performance-based funding model developed under former Governor Matt Bevin, which required schools to compete against one another for some of those dollars. Beshear said it's crucial that the state reinvest in post-secondary schools.
I certainly appreciate the encouraging words about education.
University of Kentucky President Eli Campoluto said the governor's call to set aside $200 million in bond funds to help schools upgrade crumbling facilities is also good news.
We're the largest and oldest university, so we certainly have much deferred maintenance to address.
But even with the proposed about-face on spending, Beshear's plan still provides only a fraction of the amount the State Council on Post-Secondary Education had sought, just over 6% in the coming year and nearly 9% the following year. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A bill that would change a state anti-pension spiking provision that some say disproportionately affects lower-income public employees has passed the Kentucky House. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
House Bill 207 sponsor Representative Jerry Miller told the House Wednesday that his bill would prevent small increases in compensation, usually earned by lower-income workers, from triggering a reduction in Kentucky retirement system pension benefits. Compensation would have to increase by a minimum of 10% plus an additional $1,000 over the previous fiscal year for the trigger to take effect under the bill. Around 250 KRS members, mostly classified school district employees, were affected by the provision last year. Other proposed changes in HB 207 would impact requirements governing KRS board election ballots and change how increases in the county employees' retirement system, pension, and health insurance contribution rates are calculated, among other provisions. The bill passed the House 91-0 and now goes to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A new proposal would give prospective solar energy customers more time to take advantage of current energy reimbursement rates. In 2019, lawmakers passed a bill granting the Kentucky Public Service Commission the authority to set what are known as net meter rates, the rates at which solar generating customers are paid for the excess power they feed back into the grid. Up until the change, those customers were guaranteed the dollar-for-dollar retail value of the energy, and advocates like Synergy Home business owner Jamie Clark says handing the rate setting off to regulators could drive down that return and deal a setback to solar in Kentucky.
Nationally, solar is growing. It's maturing, and in our state, we're passing laws to hold it back.
The Lexington Herald Leader reports the PSC has yet to set any new rates, but they have outlined plans to hire an expert consultant to help review rate applications. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has invested over $55 million in four high-speed broadband projects that will benefit rural residents of Kentucky and Tennessee. Deputy Undersecretary for Rural Development Donald Lavoie announced the funding Wednesday in a statement. He says the projects will create or improve connectivity for over 12,000 households and nearly 100 farms and businesses. One project benefits residents of both states. Gibson Electric Membership Cooperation will use a $32 million loan to deploy a network in rural Fulton, Graves, and Hickman counties in Kentucky. Three other projects will benefit the Kentucky counties of Adair, Cumberland, Russell, McCracken, and Breathitt County. A new poll finds Toyota's opposition to stricter vehicle emissions standards as at odds with its customers' views and could even cost the company a generation of first-time car owners. In 2019, the automaker joined a lawsuit against the state of California and more than 20 other states that disagree with new regulations prohibiting them from setting emission standards stronger than the federal government's. Matt George, whose research firm conducted the survey for the Union of Concerned Scientists, says automakers' opposition to clean air policies will likely mean they lose younger buyers.
The people who have yet to build brand loyalty, probably with Toyota, as this is probably their first vehicle purchase, they are the most likely to change based on this decision. So the consumer base that they're trying to grow now, they potentially are harming the most with their decision to support this particular lawsuit.
Last week, the administration announced a revised version of the Safer Affordable Fuel Efficiency Vehicle Rule, which would require automakers to boost fuel efficiency by 1.5%. Current rules mandate much higher fuel efficiency standards. A father is seeking justice for the 2019 death of his daughter. Joshua Rack, the father of a 3-year-old girl, is hoping for the death penalty against 33-year-old Andrew Buster Jr., who was watching the child when she died. Buster was arrested Monday at his Lexington home and charged with murder and first-degree sodomy. Rack spoke with WKYT about his struggles during the experience.
The worst thing I have to look at is this. Right here. When that come in the mail, the death certificate. This doesn't resolve it. He's arrested. And I was happy about it, and I'm very happy about it. But now what?
Buster is being held in the Fayette County Detention Center on a $1 million bond. He's expected to be in court on February the 4th. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain, mainly after 8 a.m., otherwise cloudy skies with a high near 45. On Friday night, a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 1, cloudy with a low around 36. Saturday, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 45. Saturday night, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 33. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 51. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 40. And on Monday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. On our feature segment today, a growing community news source in Carter County cuts the ribbon on its new physical location this week. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Carter County Post is a new online-only news publication that has been steadily growing in readership in recent months. Veteran community journalist Tim Preston is the editor of the Post. He says the idea for the newspaper came from discussions at a local Chamber of Commerce meeting.
So they, after the meeting, kind of gathered up and get me on the phone and convinced me that I'd be back in the local news game and that we should do an online only.
At first, Preston said he needed a little push to buy into the concept of an online-only publication.
Initially, my reaction was, you people are crazy. That's what I heard Jim Phillips in my head saying, are you crazy? And I really had to be convinced that it would even work. But the truth of it was, it was an affordable way to do it. And the need for print has simply vanished in a lot of ways.
He says he eventually came to understand how modern technology and the prevalence of smartphones have changed the way people consume their news.
People are, you know, everyone's carrying a newspaper in their pocket if they're looking for these stories. And a lot of us start compulsively checking Facebook 20 times a day. And that's where they're looking for this kind of stuff.
Though the Post is decidedly by Carter Countyans for Carter Countyans, Preston says readership has not been limited strictly to those living within the county.
This is a case where there's a lot of people who used to live here, who were born here, and are now in the four corners of the earth. We regularly have 89 or so readers in Hong Kong. And I initially thought, well, this is somebody, whatever. But they're actually reading the food stories. So I kind of know they're from Carter County.
The underlying focus of the online newspaper is decidedly different from traditional print publications in that it specifically looks to emphasize the positive aspects of Carter County life.
There's crime and stuff everywhere you go, and we're no different than any of our neighboring counties with the kind of problems we've got. But we are also blessed to have just some fantastic people who do great things, and those are the stories that I like writing.
As readership and community support has grown, Preston says the need for a physical location became paramount, and that space has found itself in an unconventional location.
I'm terribly excited about the return of the local news office. And basically, I'm saying it's America's tiniest newsroom with the world's most interesting lobby. As the space is inside a big antique store that's full of all kinds of fascinating stuff. It's not antiques necessarily. It's a lot of uniques and cool old things and cool new things. And sometimes I'll walk around the lobby here and just go, I've got the greatest office in the world.
That office is located inside Antiques and Uniques at 602 Carol Malone Boulevard in Grayson. Ribbon-cutting festivities are slated for 1 o'clock on Saturday. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 447 and 43 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Eagles return to Johnson Arena tonight for WMKY Sports. I'm Ty Martin. Morehead State women's basketball is set to host Ohio Valley Conference opponent Southeast Missouri this evening. The Eagles enter the matchup coming off a four-game road stretch, which concluded with a win over Jacksonville State on Saturday. Head coach Greg Todd says tonight's game will be a tough one, with the Redhawks coming in with a five-game winning streak.
They just do a really nice job of pushing pace, and they're a very athletic team. They've got some nice shooters. We've just been kind of going over their scout and trying to match up with what they do and try to take away some of their strengths.
Tip-off for the MSU women is set for 5 o'clock. The road hasn't been the easiest route for the Morehead State men's basketball team this season, but home has been a much friendlier place. The men will be facing off with Southeast Missouri as well as try to break their four-game losing streak. Head coach Preston Spradlin says the Redhawks don't have the best record at the moment, but his team won't be taking them lightly.
So we got to make sure that, you know, we're exceeding their intensity, and we've got a lot of hunger as well coming off the losses that we've had. And so it'll be an interesting game for us. As you mentioned, getting back home is always nice for anybody, and we've had a lot more success here at home this year. And so hopefully that'll give a level of confidence and excitement for our guys and just another opportunity to get back on track here.
Tip-off for the men this evening is set for 7 o'clock. The new head coach of the Morehead State University beach volleyball team is getting ready to open the season next month. Kristen Becker has been involved with MSU volleyball since 2011, but is now stepping into her leadership position, with the former coach Jamie Gordon recently being named full-time director of athletics at MSU. Becker says she's happy to get the opportunity.
It's been exciting. Obviously, Jamie Gordon, as our athletics director, he's still the director of volleyball, so he's still very involved with our team. But I'm excited to take this group of young women and help them grow throughout the season.
The MSU beach volleyball team gets their season underway at the Principia College Beach Bash in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on February 28th. Several schools in the 16th region are back on the hardwood tonight. In high school girls action, Bath hosts Robertson County, East Carter hosts Ashland Blazer, Lewis County hosts Greenup, and West Carter travels to Menifee. All four of those games are set to tip off at 7:30. In boys' 16th region tonight, Boyd hosts Rose Hill Christian. The Lions had an easy 88 win over the Royals when the two teams met earlier this season. Game time is set for 7:30. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. Round County girls basketball team is gearing up for a big district match on Friday night. The Vikings will host Fleming County, a team they narrowly beat earlier this season, 66-63. Round head coach Matt Stokes says, like all district games, Friday night's matchup will determine where the team goes in postseason play.
So right now, you know, we're undefeated in districts. Fleming has lost twice. They've lost to us, and then they lost to Bath County the other night, and I can't remember what they did with Menifee. They might have lost to Menifee the other night, too, but they've had a girl out. So I don't know if she's back yet or not. So our district is, you know, it's tightening up. Everybody's starting to play really well against each other.
Game time on Friday in Morehead is set for 6 p.m. Friday night's matchup is actually a doubleheader, with the Round County boys facing off with Fleming County at 7:30. The Vikings stand at 16-6 on the season, while the Panthers are 7-14. Head coach Sean Thacker says a win is critical in the drive to be the number one seed.
So it's one of those games. It could be a district matchup. But anytime you play a district rival game, you can throw the records out the window. You know, they were playing a little bit shorthanded through about 14 games of the season with Flannery kid being out. But, you know, he's back and with them, and, you know, had 15 points, led them to a win the other night. So, you know, he'll be ready to go.
The Vikings will also hit the road on Saturday for a 7:30 matchup with Greenup County. And finally, in sports this afternoon, a judge will listen to an appeal for a lawsuit between an NCAA basketball referee and Kentucky Sports Radio today. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has more.
College basketball referee John Higgins filed the lawsuit against KSR in 2017. Higgins claimed the broadcasters encouraged fans to make threatening phone calls to his roofing business. Higgins received threatening phone calls from Kentucky fans after a 2017 Elite Eight matchup against North Carolina. He was later pulled from refereeing the Final Four game. The appeal was heard at the University of Louisville Louis D. Brandeis School of Law. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball will host Southeast Missouri tonight and UT Martin on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks in a huge reversal finished up today, and this comeback was in the very last part of the session. that erased earlier losses stemming from concerns around the coronavirus. And at the close, Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 124.99 at 28,859.44. The S&P 500 was up 10.26 at 3283.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 23.77 at 9298.93. As low of the day, the Dow was down 244 points. The major averages started appearing losses with roughly 1 hour to go in trading after the World Health Organization declared a global health emergency, but at the same time did not recommend travel to China be restricted and said the country had the situation under control. Airline stocks rebounded with American and United each closing more than 3% higher. Las Vegas Sands and Wynn Resorts, two coronavirus proxies for their gaming exposure in Macau, ended the day up more than 2%. Stocks were down for most of the session as the death toll in China from the coronavirus hit 171. Microsoft led Dow stocks higher with a 2.8% gain after the tech giant reported better-than-expected quarterly results. And also in earnings news, Facebook went the other way, down over 6% on earnings that beat expectations, but the company did guide down on revenue growth for the first quarter. Also in earnings news, after the close, Amazon had very strong earnings, much better than had been anticipated. And in the aftermarket, Amazon is trading over $2,100 a share. And to put that into perspective, at the end of 4 o'clock trading, the stock finished at just over $1,870 a share. In the commodities markets, oil continued to be under pressure, down 1% at $52.82 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,578.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a weak day, with the Stoxx 600 index down 1%. Asia was also on the weak side, with the Nikkei down 1.7% and the Shanghai Composite down 2.75%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 71 cents at 44.73, Kroger up 10 cents at 27.56, CSX up a quarter at 77.78, Marathon Petroleum up 74 cents at 54.33, and Anthem was down 7.03 to finish at 265.88. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another quick look at your region's extended weather forecast. For tonight, cloudy skies, a low around 35. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 45. Friday night, a 30% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 36. Saturday, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 45. On Saturday night, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 33. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 51. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low around 40 degrees. And for your Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 60 degrees. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, a Paramount Arts Center in Ashland presents Aaron Lewis, Acoustic Songs and Stories, at 7:30 p.m. tonight, January 30th. Tickets are priced from $40 to $75. High school and transfer students are invited to an open house at Morehead State University on Saturday, February 1st. Registration begins at 10 a.m. Take campus tours, meet faculty, and receive information on financial aid, housing, and admissions. More information and register online at moreheadstate.edu/admissions. A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at Morehead Kroger from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt. The Rowan County Sharing and Caring Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Sarah Fashipe, Keneally Roberts, Nacogdoches Miller, Eden Jordan, Jonathan Burton, Cody Robinson, and Ty Martin. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.